The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
The topic, don't let anything take you out. We are going to shout it three times. Number one, don't let anything take you out. Number two, don't let anything take you out. Number three, don't let anything take you out. Now this time you're going to say, I will not let anything take me out in Jesus' name. So number one, I will not let anything take me out in Jesus' name. Number two, I will not let anything take me out in Jesus' name. And number three, I will not let anything take me out in Jesus' name. Now, while I ask you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we're going to read the whole verse. I want to give you an introduction to it. Jesus prayed through the night, sought the face of God about the will of God. In other words, the will of God is a serious business. You don't take it lightly. And when he had finished, he started selecting his disciples. 12 of them will be the core, and he would work with them. Along the line, many others will be one, and so on and so forth. But the thing I want you to take notice of was that the 12 were supposed to be the foundation. The Bible talks about the foundation of the apostles. They were supposed to be the various little rocks on which God was depending to advance his kingdom. Judas, as well as Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, and all the others were supposed to be part of it in the original plan. But Judas allowed himself to be deceived by the love of money, to go out and sell his master for just 30 pieces of silver. And later on, his master would be crucified. Jesus would die on the cross. And Judas will regret it. And Judas will go and throw the money away. He would not even be able to use it. And later on, Judas will commit suicide. And the Bible says in the Acts of Apostles, and his office let another take. There is an office that is designed for you and designed for me. That office another cannot take. Oh, those to my right, you are a little dull. I said that office another cannot take. Nobody else must take. If there's a change of office, then like David from a shepherd boy, you will be the head of the military for Saul. Then you will move into the palace. And you will stay in the palace till God calls you to glory. But to hear that in his office, let another take is not permitted. It is not allowed. It is because Judas did not treasure what God gave to him. And he went to seek after the benefit, ungodly benefit, of some 30 pieces of silver. And because of that, he forfeited his life. He died prematurely while the others worked on and advanced the kingdom of God. Tonight, I stand as a servant of God and I declare, your office, it cannot be taken. Your office as a wife cannot be taken from you. I say your office as a husband and a father cannot be taken. Your office as a mother cannot be taken. Oh, your office and position that you have cannot be taken. Your life cannot be taken from your children. Can I hear an amen? You will not be the one who will be taken out from among your siblings. that you die prematurely. Can I hear a more solid amen? No one can take your office. God has made you unique. God has made you special. And Satan is going to use several things to fight you. But you have to learn how to stand. So when we say pray, don't joke with it. Don't say it's another evening and I'll just go through the motions and we'll close service. No, be serious about it. Take your stance. If God says he will call you to glory at 90, nothing must call you at 45. Can I hear an amen? Oh, let me hear a better amen. I don't know what God would have done for a person like Adonijah or Absalom. But they were in a hurry, these two people. They were in a hurry to be kings when others had been preferred. They were still part of the royalty. And they would have still had honor in the sight of Israel if they had served well. But somehow, they allowed impatience and desire of covetousness for the position of some other person to destroy and terminate their lives. So Absalom overthrew his father, and Absalom paired up with another guy who already had honor, Ahithophel. He had honor. He was like the second in command in David's kingdom because David did nothing without consulting him. He was like David's right-hand man. But I don't know what he wanted because his position was not going to be better under Absalom. You are not getting what I'm saying. Under David, the approved king of Israel by God, he had a high position. Then you leave that position and go and fight for an unapproved position with an unapproved leader called Absalom. It was not a promotion. It was to be a demotion. Finally, he lost his life. Something took him out. But tonight, I said tonight, nothing will take you out. Whatever the forces of satanic resistance are, there is enough power in the kingdom of God to fight these forces. Can I hear an amen, somebody? Naboth owned a vineyard, and he kept the vineyard. He was not an absentee farmer. Where the vineyard was, I'm sure that the king's palace overlooked it. So anytime the king was entering and coming out, it was the same thing. One day the king desired that he would kick him out of it, and he couldn't. Then his wife, who was very evil, that is Ahab's wife, Jezebel, decided that he will contrive a plan and get this gentleman killed so that she would take it. Somehow she got the man eliminated, but a prophecy will come that just as she shed the blood of Naboth, so shall the dogs lick her blood from the chariot. I declare that anybody that seeks for your blood shed, your blood will never be shed. Okay, let me hear a better amen. I said, your blood will never be shed. And in the name of Jesus Christ, anything that desires that they will eliminate you and take your portion, I declare that before they hatch that plan, God himself will cause them to be destroyed and their blood will be licked by the dogs in the streets. Nothing will take you out. I say nothing will take you out. You are going to stand firm. You are going to stand tall on the word of God. You are going to stand courageous. You are going to stand bold. You are going to fight. You are going to take new territory. You are not going to allow anything of the devil to attack you and take your position. The story in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 is about one of the most prosperous kings in Israel, who came after his father. His father, I believe, was Azariah, and he was King Uzzah. King Amaziah, rather. His father was King Amaziah, and his name was Uzzah, and he took over Judah. Verse 2 of 2 Chronicles 26. Look at what he built when he took over. I didn't hear an amen. No, verse 2 still ascribes something to his father. He says his father built Eloth and restored it to Judah. And after that, the king slept with his father. So Amaziah died. From then on, verse 3, a 16-year-old by name Uzziah began to reign. And he reigned for 52 years. That means he was 73 when he died. So he reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. Verse 4. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. From the beginning he honored God. He pleased God. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Can I hear an amen? Oh, let me hear a solid amen. According to what his father Amaziah did. That means his father honored God as well. Verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding of the in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. So I'm sure there were many revelations that came up when King Uzziah took the throne. And these revelations, somebody needed to interpret them. And God provided for him a man like Prophet Zechariah. And this Zechariah had understanding of revelations. So any revelation that came, this man will interpret for the king. And because of that, there was a certain advancement. May God bring such gifts to you. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Then in verse 5, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. As long as you continue seeking the Lord, you will prosper. It is when a man stops seeking the Lord that he will not prosper any longer. So in verse 6, and he went forth and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. These cities that were mentioned were strongholds of the Philistines. So you can remember people like Goliath and things, you know, when they came out to fight Israel, you will remember Gath, you will remember Ashdod, and you remember all those cities. And the Bible said this man, Uzziah the king, went to war against them. He defeated all these cities. I declare the strongholds that are against your family, you will defeat them tonight. In Jesus' name. Verse 7. And God helped him. Oh, Ebenezer. My helper. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gebal and the Mehunims. So he went on against the Philistines, against the Arabians, and against another group of persons, the Mehunims. Verse 8. Now, the Amorites realized that Uzziah was very powerful and he had help from God. He had support from God. You could not defeat him. So the Ammonites decided that, look, instead of we being against them, let Israel be our ally. So the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah as a sign of peace, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. May your name be so blessed that your name will spread abroad. May your name spread better than Givenchy. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Can I hear an amen to God's glory? So his name spread. One of the blessings, God will spread your name. By the time you get to the next city, it's all blessings for you. And the Bible says he strengthened himself exceedingly. Oh, na e wajehe, me no ba wajohe. Kafe bodo bodo na kai. I didn't hear an amen. Yeah. He was prospering, but he found time, I believe, to pray. He found time to fast. He found time to seek the Lord. And he found time to be strong in the Lord. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The Bible says, having done all, stand. So he strengthened himself in the Lord so that nothing will come as a surprise, nothing will shock him, nothing will frighten him. Verse 9. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall, and fortified him. Let me prophesy over you. You will build things. You will build things to God's glory. You will build. You will build. Some houses were built over 30 years. Some were built over 20 years. Others were built over 10 years. Some were built 5 years. Some monumental buildings were built under 1 year. I say you will build. You will start and finish in your generation. You will build. God told Zerubbabel, the hands that have laid the foundation, that same hand shall lay the cornerstone. May God anoint you both to start and to finish successfully. Shout amen, somebody. The best thing is to look at the preacher. Don't look down. Look at the preacher. I didn't hear an amen. I didn't hear an amen. So let's go on. So he built towers, strong towers, watch towers. Some of the towers were for storage and other things. Verse 10. In fact, after building, he fortified them. He built a defense. Verse 10. He also built towers in the desert. In the desert, there's nothing there. But this man transported building materials across sand dunes. The man was prosperous. And he went to build in the desert. The man was strong. He was really blessed. Still in verse 10. And dig many wells. I'm sure in the desert as well. For he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountain, and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. The man engaged in animal husbandry. So he had all kinds of animals, and he had milk, he had cheese, he had flesh, and I'm sure they were exporting some of these things. So there was nothing lacking, and prices were not high. Everything was low. He had vine dressers so they could produce a lot of wine. The Bible says, for he loved husbandry. Verse 11. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men. In other words, his military was not small. Well-organized military, strong military, a force to reckon with. You don't kid with him. Let's go on. You will see the numbers. So verse 11, moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account by the hand of Jeiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hanani, one of the king's captains. So he had organized his people in bands. They would go to war and come back. In verse 12, the whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of Valah were 2,600. So this is one segment. He had an army bigger than that. But his mighty men, just like the Bible talks about the mighty men of David. You remember that? David has some mighty men. One of them could fight a bear in snow in a pit. And his feet will not freeze. His fingers will not freeze. One of them could slay 800 men holding a sword. One sword slew 800 men. The Bible is saying this man had a standing army, and then his military chiefs, who were very skilled, look at the number. So these were mighty men of valor. They were 2,600. Wow. Verse 13, and under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500. So this is 307,500 people. That's a huge army. That made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. So they made war with mighty power. They were a force to reckon with. If you face them, defeat was staring at you. If you decided to fight them, you were not likely to win. And they were very bold, they were courageous, they were daring. They could take on an army that was bigger than them. They could take on another whole empire that was bigger than them. They were really strengthened. Let's continue to read. Let's continue to read. Verse 14. And Uzziah prepared them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and harbingers and bows and slings to cast stones. In other words, his army was well equipped. If it was current circumstances, then they had the Muags, they had the Air Force planes, they had the aircraft, the aircraft ships, and they had submarines. They were ready. So there were people who could throw the sling. He had protective gears for their head, everything. I'm sure some of the other nations didn't have as much. Verse 15, look at major accomplishments under this man. And he made in Jerusalem engines. Look at that. Invented by cunning men. There was such blessing in this administration. To be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. God helped him. His army helped till he was strong. May the help of God reach you fast tonight. May God send other helpers to help you. And may God establish you and make you strong. Can you clap and shout loud on receiving these blessings? So look at the support God gave him. Good, look at the favor. Look at the victories God gave him. Just when he was at the top of his game, then he changed. Verse 16. But when he was strong, you see, when you are weak, you depend on God. But as soon as you are strong, you start boasting. I always have this example of the footballers. They score a goal, they run and slide on their knees to the camera and beat their chest. I scored it. I said, I scored it. So in that season, they may score about 26 goals or 32 goals. And they was, and yeah, they scored it. Then some 5 seasons later, after 20 games, they have scored only 4. Now they don't do this. When they score one, they point to the heavens. God lifted him. He went up and he allowed the thing to enter his head. One of the biggest mistakes you can do when God gives you popularity or fame on television or whatever is to walk through town and feel that everybody should know you. That you are the one coming. Tete Jangma is coming. Just go your place quietly like an ordinary person and meditate on the grace of God that has lifted you to that far. Whatever inventions, accomplishments, breakthroughs you make, enter a place very quietly. Don't force humility, but just be naturally humble until somebody identifies you and introduces you. And be sincerely surprised that somebody recognized you. Oh, I didn't hear. I think you should put your hands together. Today I went to a place and I thought nobody would recognize me. Since yesterday, I've been feeling that way. Then I was passing quietly. And then somebody looked at me. Reverend! And I said, they've caught me. I was just passing through his security gate because it was a good shortcut. And he opened the gate for me, so I saluted him and I thanked him. And I thought he would say, oh, sir, just go. And he said, Reverend. The authority with which he said, Reverend. I said, oh, I started melting. Don't prosper and enter your church as if everybody should recognize you and bow to you. Don't prosper and enter your own home as if your wife should roll on the floor and worship you. Don't prosper and go into the midst of your friends and talk down upon them and look down upon them and treat them with disdain. God is not pleased with that. Any uplifting he gives you, he wants you to lift others. It must be a source of inspiration, a source of encouragement, a source of motivation, and you are creating opportunities for others to be also lifted up. King Uzziah did this mistake. When God blessed him, he changed. But when God blesses you, if you are changing, change for the better. Don't change for the worst. Don't change till everybody start talking that, oh, since you started driving the most modern car with the most modern equipment in it, you have changed. Ask the next person, when you prosper, will you change negatively? Ask them, ask the one behind you, will you change positively or negatively? Will you now look at your pastor or pastors and think that they are not into anything? Oh, pastors, now I'm a little life crowd. I'm a bendico me. Oh. We've been to Venezuela, Brazil, moved out of Rio de Janeiro to Canada, and all the way to Singapore, to Australia, and oh, I'm a preacher, be a local preacher, so. Don't come and do that. Don't come and do that. Your prosperity will kick you out. But the title of this message is, let nothing take you out. There is a certain attitude that will make nature displace you. It will make nature reject you. And it will make heaven fight you. Oh, come on. Don't graduate from the university, and when you come back, you don't even want to speak your local dialect. Aristotle and those people, they were speaking their local dialects. Some of the things they wrote was translated into the language you are reading. I didn't hear an amen. Don't train your children to despise their culture. Don't train your children over here as if they are over there. I speak Ghana with my children. I speak. I think you should be clapping. I'm serious. Encourage them to speak our national, international language. But don't let them forget the local language. Oh, you should be clapping. You should be clapping. There are values here that you can't get elsewhere. There are values here that will keep your children sober if they imbibe it. And there is another culture, if you make the mistake and go and leave them there, you are in trouble. There's this rich man in this country, and he had 3 or 4 or 5 children. I don't want to state specifically. And they are boys. So when they got to university level, he got them visas and transported them out of this country. Then he bought a house over there and put them in. The firstborn, for 10 years, he has not completed his first degree. Yes. He has not completed his first degree. On top of that, he sold the father's house abroad. You are tempting me to mention countries. He sold the father's house so that where would he sleep? So he put the money in his back pocket. I'm talking figuratively. And wasted the money. So the father went there. It nearly gave him heart attack. Now he had to change the game. I can't say the rest. I didn't hear an amen. Nobody from my house went outside without stepping in a university here. There are some values here that you will never get elsewhere. Can I see you put your hands together? In Britain now, there's a law that if your child wakes up and he doesn't feel like going to school and he's 9 years old, 12 years old, and he doesn't feel like going to school, you can't compel him. So he wakes up and says, won't you go say, Daddy, I don't feel like going to school. Monday, he doesn't feel. Tuesday, he doesn't feel. Wednesday, he doesn't feel like going to school. What will you do? You will shout. You can't touch him. You can't do anything. You have to seek the will of God and find what God wants. See, I'm preaching. We are supposed to be praying. You have to seek the will of God. How can you go and do first degree for 10 years and there's nothing sure? You haven't gone past level 200. Yet, you are changing clothes and shoes and driving long cars. Instead of training yourself to come and take over your father's business, you are wasting the thing. Don't train your children to come and look down upon your culture and look down upon you. You would have created a mess that you will regret. I think you can thank God by clapping and shouting. Oh, I think there should be better clap. I'm saying it with power and with love, very uncompromising, because it's only God who sees the future. Let's go back to Uzziah. As soon as he prospered, he changed. He changed. Which verse were we? 16. But when he was strong, that means when he was blessed, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, his own destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. You are anointed a king. Others have been anointed prophets. Others have been anointed priests. And the king must govern with governmental authority. The prophets must buy into the mind of God and prophesy. And the priests were the ones that were assigned with the responsibility of offering sacrifices in the house of God and burning of incense and even cleaning the place and changing wicks and candles and clearing the ash from the sacrifices. And this guy intruded. You see, he had now become so proud that he starts directing other people. Leave the prophet to do his work, just as you leave the king to do his work. And then you also leave the priest to do his work. So he moved out of his office and intruded into priestly office out of arrogance, that you people say you are priests. All of us, God has called us. And there are people who talk like that on social media. You haven't seen leprosy before. That's why you are talking that way. And he went to burn incense in front of the altar in the presence of God when God had not approved of it. There was a priest there who organized a number of men to stop him, because they realized that what he was doing was a wrong precedent and it will not help. Let's look at what happened. So in verse 17, now let's still look at 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to destruction, to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. 17. And Azariah the priest, this was just an ordinary priest, went in after him, and with him 80 priests, that is 80 priests of the Lord, because the man was strong. That were valiant men. These were also strong men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said to him, it appertaineth not unto thee. It is not in your domain. It is not in your jurisdiction. It is not given to you from above, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron. That is a priest for them. That they are consecrated to burn incense. They were what? they were what? Consecrated. They were specially trained and sanctified and separated to do that work. I can say that if you work at ECG, it is the finance office that is consecrated to collect money. So if you go and collect money elsewhere, you are like Uzziah acting out of his office. Oh, I just collected them. Oh, I didn't mean. Oh, I just collected that. I just wanted to bring it to the. Are you the one to collect the money? So verse 18, they withstood him and said, look, this one is for the kings. And they explained to him that the priests, the Aaronic family, were consecrated to burn incense. So go out of the sanctuary, because what you are doing is dishonorable to God. Go out of the sanctuary. I mean, they're asking the king, please, this is not right. For thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah got angry, verse 19, and had a censer. The censer is that small container in which you place the incense and burn and swing it. He had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest and wouldn't allow them, in his arrogance, leprosy even rose upon his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, from beside the incense altar. Verse 20, and Azariah, the chief priest, now the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous on the forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, he himself hasted to go out, because the Lord has... Now he was running out. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being he was in a leprosarium where lepers are kept. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now, the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, he's a leper. And Jotham, his son, reigned over him. Do you remember something about Jotham? He was the one who prepared his ways, and the Lord made him great, because he has seen his father intruding into priestly office. And because of that, he was made leprous. Today, our prayer is, whatever God has ordained me to do, can I hear an amen? Amen. Oh, let me hear you. Let me hear an amen. Amen. Whichever office God has assigned me to be, nothing shall displace me. You should be clapping as your amen and shouting. Nothing shall displace me. To subvert a man in his course, the Lord permitted it not. Nothing must take your place as the wife. Nothing must take your place as the mother and the grandmother. Nothing must take your place as the husband, the father, and the grandfather, and possibly the great-grandfather. Nothing must move you out of office. And there are things today that are moving people out. It may be a little stroke. Are you getting what I'm saying? It may be a little kidney problem. It may be a little heart problem. But it may be enough to push somebody out. But today, by the message of God, we plead the grace of God over you. That what was destined to come upon King Uzziah, that evil in his latter days, shall not be your portion. You will prosper from the beginning. You will continue to prosper. You will become great, and you will never forget God. You will never be arrogant and ascribe your prosperity to yourself, so that when the church needs an offering, you are so arrogant that you don't want to share anything. You are not self-made. I'm not self-made. God made us. If he didn't put the grace upon us, some of us will not be standing before you to interpret scriptures. Try to interpret scriptures. today, we are not here to joke. We are here to say enough is enough. I didn't hear an amen. If God ordains you to start ruling, he wants you to rule to the end. Whatever the devil has contrived, whether it is men who are hitmen sent to kill you before your time, whether it's some people who are going to take you into trouble, whether it's disease, sickness, whether it's a relative who's conspiring, may God scatter them. Your office, another cannot take. Oh, I don't like your amen. I say, another cannot take your office. When the time is come and God wants you to go, you will bow out very gently and leave the place. But not that circumstances of evil will fox you out of the place. Oh, to subvert a man in his course, the Lord approveth it not. And if he doesn't approve it, then I don't approve it. And you must not approve it. And you must stand against it. And you must fight against it until God's will is established in your life. Can you rise with me in the name of Jesus Christ? I don't like the way you are clapping. You are treating the service very ordinary. Madness can take somebody out of his job. King Nebuchadnezzar, God took his senses away and led him into the wilderness and gave him the heart of an animal. So that the day he acknowledges that God is king and ruler over all, he will be brought back to the city. By the time he came back, there was fear over his king. He ate grass for 7 years. How can a human being be reduced so low? Don't be arrogant, be humble. Be yourself, have a good self-image, but don't do things as if you are beating your chest like that footballer who went to the corner flag. If I score a goal, it is Jehovah. Oh, come on, put your hands together. If I get a blessing, it is Jehovah. If I get a victory, sincerely, it is Jehovah. Makatayabra, lift up your voice. Nothing shall makuto yo. Lift up your voice. Today I want you to lift up your voice. For some of you, your voice is never heard. This is a serious business. This is a serious matter. Mikundaraba. This is a serious matter. Something wants to take somebody out of a place so that the thing wants to make you invalid. You will not be invalid. You will not be crippled. Matua ta 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 ta. Hey, kabatia katu tataya. Ayimi anota yabra kabezu agbataya. The Bible says God who blesses you and gives you the power to enjoy. You must not come to a place where you cannot even eat and you have to be fed through tubes. May God deliver us and take us out of the satanic contrivance. Ayebi asundiri bikia. I declare to you, nothing shall take you before your time. Your place another cannot take. Nobody can take. They should not venture. God will scatter them like he scattered Absalom and he scattered Ahithophel. Turn the counsel of every Ahithophel into foolishness. The educational career you have started, you will complete that degree program. You will go beyond. Your children will complete it. Nothing shall subvert your course. Lumatin tatata tuatataya. The business you are involved in, the one approved of God, nobody shall displace you. The calling of God upon your life, nobody shall displace you. Where God wants you to end will bring glory and honor to him. You will not die at age 25. You will not die at age 30. You will not die in the 40s. You will not die in the 50s. Any evil lie, satanic bloodline, drawn for you, we wipe it off. Any evil ceiling determined by the devil that you will never rise above it, we shatter the ceilings. We declare that anything of demonic containment God wants to hold you, we destroy it by the power of God. We declare in the name of Jesus that that which happened to King Uzziah shall not happen to us. We rebuke the leprosy. We rebuke the leprosy. We rebuke the leprosy from our life. Nothing shall exclude you from giving birth. When you are ready to give birth, nothing shall exclude you from getting married. When you are ready to get married, nothing shall exclude you from having your promotion. When you are ready to be promoted, Nobody shall deceive you out of your calling. Oh, for the ladies, sir, no man shall deceive you, especially the spinsters, the unmarried ones. Nobody shall deceive you and call you out of your calling and marry you against the will of God. Ye Messiah, may the Lord make you wiser. May the Lord give you understanding. May you follow after the heart of God. May you determine the liar and the deceiver. To the young man, no lady shall deceive you to get married to her. No lady shall deceive you, young man, to get married to her, that they will subvert your course and take you out of the will. Nothing will take you out of the will. Nothing will take you out of the will. There are some men, the devil attacks them and deceives them to abandon their family and go and follow after other women and leave their children unattended to because of greener pastures as well. We curse that power. We rebuke that force of darkness. We break that destructive power. We declare, that satanic abandonment shall cease. That irresponsibility of the devil imposed against you is overthrown. Nothing shall talk us out of the will of God. There are people who keep whispering to members of other congregations to talk them out of the will of God. You will not fall. Pray to those people. Ayelerebe kiaskaya. God has ordained that you must be called a mother, of many, and so shall it be. Nothing shall exclude you. God has ordained that you must be called a father, of many. Nothing shall exclude you. The Lord shall establish you in the domain of business, in your academic career, in your political career, in your business career, in your international travels. Nothing shall terminate your life. Nobody can scheme in your office, in your ministry, to take your position, to subvert a man in his course. The Lord approveth it not. You will not die before your time. You will not die before your time. You will not die before your time. Shila katua, luba tua tati katua, ya bias telere be kiasta, ayiba tua tata tata tata, ayima tua tata tata, ikodi apa, kapa, kapa, yapa, rande, shandota, 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 shandota. Shonda Rebekia, Luba tua tata tata tata, Adiapaya, Akapa, Luba tua 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 tua. Hey, we rebuke deafness, we rebuke dumbness, we rebuke blindness, we rebuke lameness, we rebuke in Jesus' name barrenness, we rebuke joblessness, we rebuke marriagelessness from those who desire to get married. Shonda Rebekia, Shonda Rebekia, Alua Kataya. Look at Tayabra.
Rapa Ikoda Ajapa Iande Rakadi Adidi Bilibi Adoria De Yabreka Di
Imandaraba
Shandalaba Apakape
Imandaraba
Ajapa
Shandaraba. You will not be mad. You will not be mad. You will not go out of your senses. You will not go out of your mind. The mental health challenge is over now. The mental health challenge, the often depression, is over now. Reproach is taking away from you. The reproach is taking away from you.
Those online, please take your olive oil. Those in the in-person service that have never given you a vial of oil before, step out. I've not given you a vial of oil before. Please step out. I want you to keep these things. You don't just go and throw it in a corner. Are you sure I've never given you one before? Mine is not finished, but yours is finished. That means you use it more than me. I'm giving those who have never had one before. Oh, please hold on. Go back a little. You are covering the camera. When you receive it tomorrow, when I'm asking you, where is it? Don't tell it, this thing, when you lock it, it will never point to your bag. Are you hearing me? So it must always be where you bring it to church or to a service. You see, we don't sell olive oil here. We don't. But we have blessed it. We'll give it to you. I want to see you bring it to the next service. I have given you one before, madam. So all of you, your own is finished. What were you using it for? Did you fry eggs with it? Mine is not finished. I've taken it to various countries. It's in my travel bag. I heard this preacher who preached at the ICGC Great Hours. He got the same. It's the same thing we have. He got one. He says he's been using it for years and he travels with it. And he showed it. He brought it out of his pocket. You, they give you one, you go and misplace it. Grace, I've given you one before. Ah, Betty, how can yours be finished? Who says you should come? Come and get it. You have had one, that's why you are not able to come. Kakra, are you going to use it or you stand outside there? Osafo, have you got one? You have got one. You haven't had one before. You've had one. That's why you sent your son. But we love you. Let's say hallelujah. We love all of you. If I've given you one, but you don't have one now, come and take one. If I've given you before, Pastor Anna, where is yours? Dr. Ato. Auntie, how can you be in my house and not have? I declare that every vial containing anointing oil, every bottle, any olive oil, any emblem of oil online is sanctified. The Lord identifies with the properties in it. And tonight, as we apply it, it will release tremendous power. The kind that made Uzziah strong and fortified his cities and his defense and blessed him. And that he was a successful animal husbandman. He was a successful administrator. And he was also a successful, he had a successful career with inventions that occurred. So I take you back to the book of Ruth. And Ruth was told by Naomi that anoint thyself. There are periods when the prophets will be sent to anoint the kings. But today, dip your finger in it and anoint yourself one, then anoint yourself twice. Second portion, and close it. I put it in my pocket. I like the way you're anointing yourself. Let every oil applied in the name of the Lord fulfill the purpose of establishing you in your calling, that nothing shall pluck you out, that nothing shall displace you, that nothing shall subvert your course, that nothing shall say in his position, let another take. God forbid. As long as you're alive, no one can take it. You will not die prematurely. Cancer will not destroy you. Liver challenges will not destroy. Heart problems will not destroy you. Stroke will not strike you. Infection will not kill you. Kidney problems will not take you to the grave. Oh, you will not suffer hemorrhage. You will not suffer brain tumors. By the power of God, may you be liberated from barrenness. May you be liberated from impotence. May you be liberated from lack of marriage and childlessness. May you be liberated from joblessness. May you be liberated to be without a house. May God bless you abundantly.
Jesus.
If you believe all the prayers we have said, and you can put the vials of oil aside and clap your own clap till you know, and shout your own shout till you know heaven has heard you. Liba sundere bekia.
Right, Hey, I do so pray.
Yonder Rebekias toa, ya bias tele Rebekias toa kataya, ya bias seketaya, imwangma taya brekebe zuagbataya. May God give you wealth. May God give you prosperity. May God give you progress, advancement. May He establish you. May He make you greater. May He make your name spread for good and not for evil. The Lord make your latter better than your former. We rebuke the spirit of pride and arrogance from the church, and we release the power of humility. Let the church prosper while they still seek the Lord. In Jesus' name.
When Ruth, number one, listened to the guidance of the mother-in-law and she washed herself, tonight we are consecrated. Oh, you didn't say amen. I said we are consecrated by the Lord. She anointed herself and she got a husband, she got a job, she got income, and she got integrated into the genealogy, and she became the great, great, great grandmother of Jesus. Today, this anointing, I said, this anointing is integrating you into the covenants of promise. It is refreshing the covenant. It is refreshing the blessing. The ladies who are not married and wish to be married, you will get very, very good husbands, very good marriage, and very good children. The men who are not married and desire to be married, you will get very, very good wives, full of the grace of God, full of wisdom, and foresight. In the name of Jesus, you will have peaceful homes. You will prosper.
If you don't need this, I pass the blessing on to your children and to your grandchildren and to your great-grandchildren. But as for you, be blessed. Be blessed in your calling. Be blessed and be established.
God bless you. We bring the service to a close. Shout, 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 shout. Yababa tayabre. Imondiri vikaya. Mututututu. Rekrostoyo. Nothing shall take you out. Nothing, no evil shall take you out.
Take your offering. We are not joking. Take your offering. Take something substantial, worthy of the Lord. Who told,